Hey there, Hill.
Hey Jenny, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good here. How about you?
Pretty good.
Good.
We are recording today, which is Sunday, January 21st. If you're listening, it is on or after January 24th. This is season 6, episode 4.
Getting right into it. Well, we have one more week. Next ep, we'll have band news because the band will be back in Vegas. But we put it.
Hopefully they play something different and we're not just reporting exactly what we've been reporting.
I'm sure there'll be something to report.
I'm sure.
Something. Maybe not song-wise. But we put it out to you all to send us some stuff to talk about, and you answered. Which
What?
brings us much, much delight. So we figured we would go through all that stuff real quick. We have been talking about our holiday cards and how they have been being just absolutely going through the ringer in the mail. I asked our friend Avril in Dublin today if she'd gotten hers. She's like, "Oh, it came on Friday, but I think the postman tried too hard to stuff it in the mailbox and it ripped in half."
Oh
I
no.
was like, oh my gosh, that's the worst one yet.
That's just disaster.
I know. Or it ripped, she said. I don't, I forget if she said it ripped in half. But so if you have not gotten yours, and I think I mailed hers, so it would have been right after Christmas. That's like over 3 weeks. That's over 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So if you are international and are expecting one and haven't gotten it yet, just pack your patience. Hopefully it'll get there in one piece.
Hopefully, good Lord.
Okay, should we just get straight into these?
Sure.
This first one, Kathleen Lewandowski, she actually asked us a while ago where we would recommend standing at Sphere, and we told everything was great, but we enjoyed Adam's side up there, so she was very, very happy with that. And she made some friendship bracelets too and was able to toss one to DJ Polly. Yes, she was really excited.
Oh.
I do just want to say that Ms. Lewandowski has a website at the bottom of her email for because she's a personal chef, and I looked at it and she's adorable. So, Kathy, when we have a big event, you get to cater it, okay? Anyway, she sent us a voice memo. Here it comes.
Hi, Garden Tarts. My name is Kathy, and I check in from Fort Lee, New Jersey, and I'm a fairly new listener to the podcast. You guys are hysterical, and I try to listen every Wednesday when I'm at work to the new episode, and was just wondering how both of you became YouTube fans and started your journey with the band. I know how I did, and it was a long time ago, and a lot of shows later, both domestic and internationally, and most recently, the Sphere. But I was just wondering if you could enlighten a new listener. Thanks a lot. Really enjoy the show. Have a great day.
That's, I feel like, the first of a very loaded question
Yeah.
that we have, but pretty easy. I mean, just origin story, right? What's your
Yeah.
origin story with the band?
My origin story is just kind of radio overload during Joshua Tree. And then, I mean, that's pretty much it. And then I took a deep dive for Achtung Baby. And I went to my first show for Zoo TV, and that was just all she wrote. That was all in.
Yeah.
Forever. That's my origin story. Or does she want our origin story?
I think she was asking specifically about how we became U2 fans. But we can also, I mean, that fits in there too.
Yeah. Well, that's my answer. I think that, I again, like I said, I was all in for after I went to my first UTV show, but then I found this web community of YouTube fans that it's how I met Jenny and how I met a lot of our friends, and it changed my life forever, in all aspects of my life. Finding that group changed my life.
Yeah, because it, like, it fed the love.
Yeah.
It gave you a place to talk about it and
nonstop.
And see it. I mean, it's like living with your drug dealer kind of thing. Like,
that's a really good way to put it.
Something like that. Or just, you know, being friendly text message constantly with your drug dealer. I don't know.
Right.
I love drugs. I love drugs too. Let's talk about how much we love drugs. And then every 10 years we can go do them together.
Right.
More than every 10 years. Mine was, I forget if I was a freshman or sophomore in high school, but some friends of mine, Allie and Ashley, were like, Jenny, you've got to get this album. Just go get it today and go straight to number 3, which was Octant Baby, and which was 1. And that did, that's all she wrote. Like, that was it. I listened to Octant Baby. I instantly wanted to know everything about the band. I found this group on Prodigy, where I met Hillary and many of our friends that we still chat with on a regular daily basis. This was in the early 90s. It was a long time ago. And then a friend who I guess I met on there. I guess I don't know where else I would have met Rhonda besides on Prodigy. It had to have been. She was like, I'm going to take you to your first YouTube show. And she took me to Pop Mart in Vegas. She was my escort, my adult, I guess. My previous YouTuber. And that was it. And then we just started talking in the community about what show you going to, what show you going to. And I just, you know, living with your drug dealers. So that's our fandom origin story.
That's really concise too. I think we did a good job at that.
I think we did a good job too. Yeah. I feel like we've talked about it enough that we could do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Kathy, hopefully that answers your question. I am sure there's a whole episode on that somewhere. Okay. Who is next on the list? Okay. Adam Clayton's Kimono, one of our Twitter friends. It's just so nice when their wardrobes talk to us. It's great. What are some of your favorite non-Octant Baby songs from the middle turntable set at Sphere that you are hoping the band will play again in 2024? So not something we hope they play, something they've already played that we hope to hear again.
I mean, I would love to hear Seconds. I didn't get to hear that. I mean, I heard it live, but I wasn't in attendance.
Right.
I streamed it. I
and
would love
Two Hearts, Second and Two Hearts.
Live, yeah. But I would love to be in attendance and hear those. I mean, I love All I Want Is You because it's my favorite U2 song. So I'll always take that. But a song that would get me like super excited to hear would definitely be Seconds.
Yeah, for sure.
I really, really like to hear like a song, but that's asking a lot. But I mean, I think it would have been asking a lot to hear Seconds too, and
that right.
was great, so
that was crazy.
Yeah,
that was my first answer to this was that war set.
Yeah,
that they did. But the other one I just want to say is like I would love to hear Love Rescue Me again. I was not fond of that song before. And now I want to hear it as many times as I can because we probably won't again.
Right.
And just is amazing.
I love it. I've always loved that song.
If there's a, sounds like there's a herd of elephants coming from my microphone and I can't edit it out. It's just how my youngest child walks. I don't know what she is doing, but it is very loud. Okay, also from Adam Clayton's kimono, what are your favorite Adam outfits that you hope to see again in 2024? And then it's hint. Oh, I think I know what this is. It's hint, and then it's like the strong arm bicep and fire emojis. And I'm wondering if that's when he wore a vest. Yeah. He wore a vest the same night that Bono wore a vest. And no one talked about it.
No one talked about Adam's vest.
No, they both wore vests. It's almost like I'll wear a vest if you wear a vest.
That's funny.
I don't know if I want to wear a vest, but I only wear a vest if you wear a vest.
I'd love to see him in a vest, but I love him in sparkly.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, I can't, other than the vest, I can't think specifically what else he wore besides the thing that had like the white lines and the cool tie shoes.
Yeah.
That was cool, but Adam's always cool.
He's just really cool.
We could have looked up pictures, but we didn't.
We did not.
So I even said we should look up a few pics, and then we didn't. Okay. This one's a doozy. Not a doozy. It's an off out of the thinking outside the box one. And I think we're going to have to put a Twitter poll out there. Our friend Christy St. Clair on Twitter. Her Twitter handle is Christy St. Clair. Confirmed that. Has gotten a new boat. And she asked, she was like, help a YouTube fan name her new boat.
The garden tarts.
I know, right?
I mean, it's not just a great name for us. It's a clever line. I mean,
yeah,
from a great song.
She did suggest the sea tart, which I thought was clever.
Oh, that would be a good one.
Since it's on the water. It is blue.
Garden
it's blue.
Would really make sense in your on a boat, I guess. But. Yeah.
What else? She has a handful of suggestions that are related to other things in her life in other bands. There's some that's like Learning to Fly, Tom Petty, Wildflower, Cat, Moonshadow. But I'm thinking U2 stuff. So far she has Salome, Sea Tart, and Ultraviolet, which I believe is my favorite.
I like Ultraviolet. I think
that was my idea
too.
Ultraviolet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Christy, we'll put a poll up. If anyone else has any suggestions, let us know, and we'll do that for you on the Twitters in the next week. Okay. This one.
You know what would be a great name for a boat?
What?
If you're like a cat lover. Uncat Dove.
Oh.
That would be. That would
especially
just look nice.
If
that would
the
just
boat
look
was
nice.
Black. Yeah. If the boat was black.
It would look really nice on a boat.
The boat is blue and white. There could be like pale blue eyes. I don't know. Is that too obvious? That's not you too. But anyway, I forget. Your blue room. Maybe.
If it was a better song, it would be a better name.
I don't mind that song. Oh, this is from our bestie Steph.
Aww.
Down in New Orleans. Steph, we miss you. And so glad to hear you. So glad to hear your voice. Here we go. This one might also be a doozy.
Hi, Garden Tarts. It's your friend Stephanie, coming from New Orleans, Louisiana. Longtime listener, first-time caller. My question for you is, what was the moment for each of you? The moment when you realized that U2 was your band. Maybe it was a song. Maybe it was a live experience, Maybe it was something else entirely. But when was it and what was it that made you realize that U2 was the band for you? Thanks.
Ooh.
Good question. Thanks.
Do you have an answer to that?
Yeah, I do. So it was at the end of my first U2 concert.
I know. Okay.
And like when we were leaving, like the crowd sang independently of the band who had long since left the stage. The crowd, a big part of the crowd sang 40 as we were walking out of the arena. And I just knew at that moment, these were my people. This is what I wanted to do. This was my drug of choice, and I was all in and being an addict.
Well, I could do this forever.
I love that story. And we've talked about this before, that, and I think anyone that has a favorite band that they're so passionate about will also say the same thing, that you don't choose you. You don't choose the band chooses you.
Correct.
Like, I'm not going to go, you know, decide, oh, I think I'm going to become the biggest fan of this band in the world. Like, no, you just fall in love with something. And I can't think of a specific moment, but I do know that that first listen of Octane Baby changed my life. I guess that was it.
Yeah.
I guess I had no idea. I had no understanding of where it was going to take me, because I knew nothing of the sorts. But and I never looked back after that, ever.
I mean, I had no idea where it was going to take me either. I would never have guessed that, you know, at the end of that show that I would have had the longevity that I've had.
Right.
I had no idea, but I just knew I wanted to do this again. I wanted to do this as many times as I could.
Right. Good question, Steph. Thank you.
A really good question.
Okay. Now we've got two more things. This is from Anonymous from Virginia. Just love your podcast. And there are three or four. Yeah, there's a lot of questions in here. There's four questions in here. Number one, what do you think comes next for U2 when these shows are over? I think the general consensus is a new album followed by a tour or another U2 residency. Where do you land on these predictions? 2024, 2025 for a new album, tour versus back to Sphere? I mean, all things are possible.
Yeah, I mean, if you had asked me a few years ago, I would have laughed in your face about Sphere. So who the heck really knows? I mean, they know, we don't. But I think that an album in 2024 and a tour in 25.
Right. I also don't think it's impossible for them to work on an album in 2024 and go back to Sphere for a little bit.
I don't think it's impossible either. I wouldn't bet a lot of money on it at this point. But that said, who knows?
I would not be surprised if at some point they end up back at Sphere.
No.
I would like to think in my heart that their focus is a new album and getting back on the road.
Yeah.
But I also think Sphere is a great tool for them to really keep that live mojo going.
Yeah. Without a lot of investment or preparation.
Right. Yeah. Now. Right. Now. That it's been set up.
I'm just saying versus a new tour.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah. Okay. This is a lot. This is a long. I think this is number two, but I think it might have like 12 questions in it.
Okay.
Do you ever feel really down after you come back from traveling to see the boys?
Yes.
I don't. Yes, hands down. Do you usually feel this way? Oh, I don't usually feel this way when I see them locally, but I came back from Vegas and Sphere both on a total high. It was such a great show and experience, and also feeling really down. It was so hard to accept that my U2 experience was quote unquote over until they tour again. Also, I found myself wondering once or twice during the Sphere show, how many more tours and shows will this amazing band give us before they wrap? I know, horrible thought, but did I let my brain go there? Oh, why did I let my brain go there? But it legit popped into my head. Of course, I think about that all, not all the time, but I think about that. But the tour letdown is no joke.
It's really no joke. I mean, I didn't have it this time because by the time I got home, it was pretty obvious that we were going back.
Right.
But a tour as a whole, as a letdown. I remember thinking that like 1998 was one of the worst years of my life. It was not. But living it, I remember just feeling like, now what? Now what? I felt it was just such the whole year was like such a letdown after a year of, you know.
Because you had a year of like the top shelf drugs.
Right.
I guess I'm just going to keep going there. The endorphins that go with, and part of it is the traveling and the exhaustion around that and being with friends and the anticipation and everything that goes with it. And then it's the band and it's afterwards and everyone's so excited. Then you get on a plane and you come home and it's like, oh.
Right. Now what? How do you live your life like this?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had it for every tour I've ever done, yeah. I think.
Re-entry is a bitch.
Yeah. Even, you know, shows that we don't go to, you know, we don't go to as many shows for a tour or, you know, a tour that goes on quite a while after after our shows are done, you still have that, you know, you still have the news. You still have to, you know, wake up in the morning and check out the set list or stay up late, you know, listen to a show.
And then you kind of get the feel goods vicariously.
And then it's like, blah, then what? It's a horrible feeling. There needs to be like support groups and medication for that, I think.
And that's why we have us.
Right. It's rough. I think that because of our podcast, I think it'll be a whole lot easier to decompress after Vegas because we got to still keep going.
Right.
So, yeah, that should be a little easier than the usual just like cold turkey let down. Yeah.
And also, it's also how we usually end up going to more shows than we anticipated because, right. Oh, I can only make two this tour. Okay, I'll just be glad I can do it. I'm lucky to be able to do it, blah, blah, blah. And you get there and you've done the two and you're like, fuck this.
I need to go to 14 more shows.
And all of a sudden, what seemed impossible, there's a world of possibilities. Right. Oh, I can rearrange this. I can do this. I can do that. I can go broke. It's fine.
Right. Yeah. To speak of, you know, when they're done, I can't even think about that. And I try not to let myself think about it. I don't think that they're going to have like a farewell tour or anything like that. I think it's just going to be done.
Yeah. That was... She has another question, and then after that, it goes along with what she was saying before. Do you ever find yourself wondering if they will ever retire? How do you deal with those thoughts of only having X number more shows to see them? First of all, I don't have those thoughts.
No, I just don't let myself think about that.
No. I would love for the end of their career to end of their U2 as a group career to be that they all decided it's time.
Right.
And not because something tragic happens.
Right. So I've been to 63 shows, and I know that the vast majority of my shows are in my past and not in my future.
Right. Yes.
I don't have the energy or the time or the money.
Neither do they. Well, the energy or the time.
But I'm not going to another 63 more shows.
No.
I think that's fairly safe to say that over, 30 some years, I've accumulated that many. Right. And I don't have that many shows in my future.
Same. Okay, her final question. How do you keep yourself satisfied with U2 stuff when they aren't touring and or you don't have a show to look forward to?
We have this podcast.
Literally. Each other.
Yeah.
It's really nice to take a break.
And, memories are, that's why every show is like so important, because you're always making new memories, and we can sit around and say, hey, remember that show? And you don't even really have to talk about it. You can just say, hey,
remember
Hamilton? And then we remember it, and so it's memories that kind of keep me on my toes. And the fact that, we have this podcast to keep us going all the time.
Right. And also the fact that we routinely talk with so many of our longtime U2 friends.
Yeah.
Helps that. I mean, and when U2's not doing anything, we generally don't talk U2 stuff. And sometimes we're really quiet for a while, but we keep up with each other's lives and stuff. And that's all part of it.
Definitely.
That's part of it. Sometimes I'll bust out an album that I haven't listened to in a long time. I mean, there's albums I haven't listened to in years. I'm sure. Not because of the podcast. We've listened to all.
Yeah.
Most of them. So I don't know. Yeah. And then there's times like, I'll be like, gosh, I haven't listened to U2 in a long time.
I feel like that a lot. Like,
I also have Sirius XM. So I hear enough U2 to like actually want to change the channel sometimes.
Yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes it even more exciting when they come back with something. Yeah. There's a tidbit of news or something when we've gone so long without.
And everything is huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We have one more. This is from on Twitter. He is huge U2 fan. Cup of Joe. And this is not really a question at all, but some information. And sometime it might be fun to talk with him more about it.
My name is Joe Patella. I teach sixth grade world geography in Georgetown, Massachusetts, and have been using U2 song titles and lyrics to teach the geography of Europe for the last 25 years. The ultimate project is called simply the U2 Project, and I was on Tasula's Stories segment on U2 Sirius XM last year explaining the project, and it would be my pleasure to explain it in more detail on your podcast. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
So my question for Joe is, this project has been for 25 years. That's a lot of U2 content.
It's a lot.
And I'm so curious how it started and what song titles and stuff he was using then and how that evolved as new albums came out. But yeah, like how...
Fascinating.
Like every time... And that's interesting. I wonder if his episode with Tasula... I wonder, it's probably not on demand still, but... That'll be interesting. But I do know Joe, if you haven't yet talked to the folks at U2 Conference, I mean, they've done stuff with teachers in the past and about what, you know, how they use U2 in their classrooms and stuff. That might be a nice venue partnership for you.
I think that's a really good idea, actually.
To go. I feel like that's better than our podcast. For sure. So if you want to be introduced, I'd be happy to do that. But they're pretty easy to reach, too. So especially if you're on their Discord. U2 Conference has a great Discord channel that's open to everyone. So check that out. That would be great.
Really great.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Well, y'all did it.
Thank you. You gave us
some good stuff.
Thank you for everyone who reached out.
Gosh, I felt like there was so much more. I felt like I was sending you stuff all day.
It really did feel like that.
But
it was a lot.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening. Just, it means a lot to everyone who reached out. And
yeah.
Every one of you who listen, we're so appreciative. Like, we do this for us. I think that it's just the two of us listening. It blows my mind that we have such loyal listeners and followers.
Yeah, for sure. I get a daily update on charts that we're in, and it's usually pretty, the countries are pretty much the same, but it's recently it has been Mexico, the Philippines, and Ghana. So, but now Germany is showing up in the charts, and the Netherlands.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Who the fuck are y'all?
Let us know how you heard about us.
Yeah. I get people stateside just because we're here. That just makes sense to me. I realize that the internet does not have borders. No. Unless you're in like China. And podcasts don't have borders, but there's language barriers, and whether or not you're on Twitter or places that we chat or Instagram. And so just the fact that people from other countries hear about, like, and keep listening. Like, what the crap? I mean, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Y'all are awesome.
Yeah, let us know where you're listening from. Even in the States, we're always curious to know
how
you heard about us and where you're coming from.
I'm so intrigued. We have so many people in so many towns all over Ohio. And I don't know y'all. I don't know you. I don't know anyone in Ohio other than Garden Tart Amanda that listens regularly. And I have family in Cincinnati, and I know they don't listen. So who are you? Do we need to have like an Ohio meetup? I'm not putting that together, but it would be fun. Yeah. I would attend. Scott from U2 Conference is in Ohio. So maybe a U2 Conference could put together. There you go. Scott, I'll just give it to you. Anyway, y'all are awesome. We'll be back next week with actual Sphere updates from the band. Well, our updates about the band.
We won't be there. I mean, yet.
The band is welcome to provide updates if they want.
Oh yeah, please.
We're just not promoting that at this moment.
If you are U2 or you know U2, hit us up and give us updates. Or just say hi.
Yeah. I mean, why not? That'd be fun. Okay, crew, have a safe rest of your week, and we'll be chatting soon. If you're traveling to Vegas, safe travels. Hope it's uneventful.
Stay warm if you're in this part of the world that is getting cold, because it's cold here.
Yeah, and you're not used to cold.
No.
Your face looks very sad.
I'm so over it. I don't want to go outside. I don't. Ugh.
It's better here now. Actually, when I was, before we started recording, I was talking with Hillary about how we have a foot of snow, which is fine for us. It's, I mean, we did have a snow day and whatever for school on Friday because they couldn't, it was all day. Like they couldn't keep the roads clear long enough for morning or evening. Actually, most of the stuff came in the after, like getting to school would probably have been fine. Getting home from school would have been a shit show. So that's why they closed schools. But there is actually a thing that it's warm enough to snow. Like it has been so cold here before then that it was too cold to snow. It has to be warm enough. So I like this temperature. For winter, I like this temperature.
Yeah.
I also wear snow pants. I wear everything.
See, I don't even own anything like that to.
Yeah. Remember that time I told you to bring gloves and you brought like those cute little knit things?
You're like, I don't know what these things are.
I'm like, this is like a fashion statement. This is not. There's no kind of warmth.
That's all I need here.
It's no kind of warmth barrier there.
I still have them. They're still in my pocket.
I believe it. I'm glad they work for you.
I do have a hat now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. In my pocket. But I don't think I've actually worn that coat but once this whole year.
Wow. I need a new one.
You need to get a new winter coat.
A new winter coat. It's got a hood. I really, really like it. Okay, girl. We'll say goodnight.
Okay. Goodnight. Bye.
Bye.
We'll be back next week with more U2ish content.
In the meantime, keep chatting with us on social media at @_GardenTarts.
Sign up for our newsletter at thegardentarts.com and share with your U2 friends.
You can support us on Patreon, buy me a coffee, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Kissing Lips and Breaking Hearts, a U2ish podcast with The Garden Tarts, is created, produced, and edited by us, the Garden Tarts.
Intro and outro music by December.
See you next week.